That took a while to get something. I like let the music roll a little bit till it gets moving. So I'll give it a few more seconds here. Okay. That sounds like drumsticks on a bucket. That's what that was. I should know who this is by now because Chris Bohlig, I think, played this several times before he moved to Colorado, lived the mountain life. Who is this?
It's Childish Gambino again.
See? It's ridiculous that I shouldn't, that I didn't know that. I've heard it. Probably heard it a dozen times when Bohlig was here. It's all right. Just proves how uncool I am. Back on Sports Sunday, Sports Radio 810 WHB in Kansas City. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. A lot of things going on the radio today. If you're already at Kansas Speedway or on your way to Kansas Speedway, we'll have that fully covered today on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Scott Traylor and Kirk Elliott will be coming on with their pre-race coverage in just a little bit. If you don't know those guys, they know everything about racing. I've known Scott and Kirk for 25 years, something like that. They know it all. They know everybody. So I'll be rooting for Clint Bowyer today at Kansas Speedway. It is hometown track. Not his hometown, but his home state track because he's from Topeka. So I'll be rooting for Clint Bowyer. This is a playoff race, and it is huge. And Kansas Speedway always does a great job. If you've never been there, even if you're not a race fan, you should try it at least once. The mass humanity of people, the buses, the trailers, the cars, the size of the track, and the noise is just, it's like a physical experience. The noise is so loud, and of course you got to wear headphones or earplugs, which I do. So anyway, we're joined in studio right now by Karen Huey from Team Cura. Have you ever been to Kansas Speedway, Karen?
I have.
You have?
I ran a running race out there.
You did?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
What? Now, I have not. I've been to several races out there, NASCAR races. Okay. But what about the runs? Do you run like in the lower section of the track? Because you don't want to run sideways around the corners, right?
I actually did.
Did you really?
On the corners, which was really awesome. Yeah.
Wow. I would be afraid that I would fall down.
We didn't run that far up under the side.
Not that far up?
No,
okay.
Because
I was out there, I'm trying to remember if it was last year, 2 years ago. My youngest is a big Kyle Busch fan.
Okay.
So we went out there and we got the pre-race passes from the Speedway. And they actually, you walk around on the track. You can sit down or lay down on the track as people
really?
Took pictures. And you can sign your name on the finish line or on the wall. You can do whatever you want. It is one of the most fan-friendly places in America.
That's awesome.
It's awesome.
That's great.
It's great.
Yeah.
So you did this. You did a run out there. How did it start outside the track and come in? Or?
Yes, most of the race was outside of the track, and then we came in and just ran the final lap around the track.
Okay.
And got to go on the banks.
That'd be fun.
Yeah, it was
That'd
really
be
fun.
A blast. Before I get to Team Cura, we were talking yesterday on the show about the Kansas City Marathon,
yes.
Which is a great event. Unfortunately, I had some rain yesterday morning. That happens. But it's a great event, and I asked all my guests, have you ever been motivated to run a marathon? Because I never have. I'm a 5K guy. 3.1 miles is about right. Sounds about perfect. And I have friends who have done them and say, oh, you should try it at least once. And that's just not my thing. But you have run marathons.
I have. I've run 2 marathons. And like you, I always thought, why in the world would you run 26.2 miles
right?
All in one fell swoop? And yeah, there was a group of us who got together to do a fundraiser. So I said, all right. And I ran one. I said, well, now that I've run one, I should try it again. And it was a lot easier the second time.
And then
I said, that's enough. No more.
How long does it take to get ready? Is it weeks? Is it months?
It's weeks. And you have to have a very specific training plan. And you can't deviate from it, especially your longer runs. You know, when you're getting up to 18, 20 miles, if you miss it, it's a problem.
Well, shout out to all the folks in Kansas City, not only the folks who ran it, all the volunteers that I saw yesterday when I was driving in through Waldo, all the organizers, Kathy Nelson and the Sports Commission, always an awesome job. And you were out there manning the, you were cheering people on?
I was a course monitor near mile one, yelling and screaming and cheering them on because it was pretty wet. Like you said, it was raining yesterday.
Need some
it
encouragement.
Was a wet start. Yeah.
Need some encouragement.
They looked miserable.
All right, we're speaking with Karen Huey, who is with Team Cura. Okay, so you hear that name, and I know Don Fannin-Steele. I've known him forever, and he's been talking to me and emailing me about this, and I had not heard much about it. So rather, and I've got the email, I've read all the information about it, but rather than me describe it just from, you know, the website and the press release, why don't you tell me a little bit about Team Cura? I'll just set it up this way. I know it involves high school students,
in
particular student athletes. So tell me about Team Cura and what exactly it is that you do.
Yes. Thanks, Brad. We work with high school athletes. Mm-hmm. Those athletes that have shown the potential and the desire to get to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have created a digital education platform so that we can train athletes for life. That's the short version.
So this is, so when I hear people talk about high school athletes and wanting to get to the next level, generally what I think about is, we'll help you put a tape together. We'll help you get your tape in front of college coaches. We'll make connections for you. This is something different.
Absolutely. This okay. is different. There are a lot of great companies that are doing that now to mm-hmm. help the students get in front of the coaches. So we don't want to do that because,
okay.
like I said, there's good companies doing that. What we do is what we call, we help get the athletes ready to get in front of that coach when they do have that meeting with the coach. We make them more marketable, teaching them what we call interpersonal life skills mm-hmm. that are necessary. So it's around communication, professionalism, social media presence, so that they gain that confidence and they're ready as they're reaching out to coaches and meeting them.
Well, the motto, I don't know if you call it a motto, a mission statement, skills beyond drills. So athletes that already have some talent but maybe need a little help with the stuff outside of just being an athlete?
Right, absolutely. Skills Beyond Drills is the name of the training program that we created. But as you said, they're athletes that have that talent. They're mm-hmm. going to get noticed. And there's a lot of athletes, you know, the top 1%, they will find mm-hmm. a home with a college scholarship at D1, D2, NAIA, whatever conference. We work with pretty much the rest of those athletes.
Sure.
Who are having to put forth more effort to really reach out to those coaches. And, you know, they've got that talent. They can find a good place, but we found it's the character that often gets them signed. And so we help them develop those character building traits as it all rolls into their personal brand and they're ready to market themselves.
Now, you mentioned social media.
Yes.
And teaching high school kids how to deal with it. Now, I'll just tell you from my own experience, my kids are not allowed to have Twitter and Facebook. I got one sophomore mm-hmm. and I got one eighth grader. They are not supposed to be on Twitter and Facebook. Because I just, if I had Twitter or Facebook when I was a kid, I would have gotten in trouble. Because I like to shoot my mouth off a lot. So you work with high school kids and kind of give them some direction on how to handle themselves on social media?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, because as you said, if you can say something that's inappropriate, if you do something that's inappropriate, that gets out there on social media. And a lot of times the student athletes think, oh, I'll use Snapchat because it goes away. You know, it's not out there.
Anything
that goes out, exactly. Anything on social media, somebody could have taken a screenshot, they can find it. And those coaches are looking. We work with, we're nearing over 200 coaches, mm-hmm. high school and college, athletes, high school and college level. And those coaches go out and they look. Mm-hmm. They look at the social media. Good news is for your kids, they're not going to find them on Twitter and Facebook. But what about Instagram? Because that's really popular with high school students.
Yeah, absolutely. And we see this all the time. There was a kid from Villanova a couple years ago who was a basketball player, got drafted in the first round. And I always mispronounce his name. It was like DiVincenzo, something like that. And after he got drafted, I think the reporter's a jerk from USA Today because he's done this a few times, went back through his tweets from 6 to 8 years ago when the kid was 13, 14 years old, and he posted rap lyrics that if you just listen to it in your car or you're listening to it with your friends, you wouldn't think anything about the language in that rap song. But he posted the lyrics on Twitter, which were highly inappropriate, and the reporter went out and, is this kid, I don't know if they were racial in nature, I think they might have been, but they were rap lyrics, and this kid tweeted out this. Well, when did he tweet that out? Was it the night of the draft? No, it was 6 years ago. So he was 13, and then, you know, the Chiefs drafted a guy this past year, and some reporter dug up old tweets on that, too. And look, I don't personally hold people accountable for things they say when they're 14, 15, and 16, but it comes back. It will come back. There'll be a reporter who has nothing better to do, or a coach, or a future employer, and an HR department who will go find it and hold it against you.
Yes. Interesting you say that about the future employers and HR department. Mm-hmm. I've also been an HR consultant mm-hmm. for years. And, employers are looking along with those coaches. They're going out and you know, especially you gave the example of the 13-year-old kid,
mm-hmm.
you know, didn't know any better at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we're trying to get to the athletes before they have put something out there. Or if they have already maybe posted some questionable things or that could be misconstrued, like what you were talking about, we take them through a process of how to go out and scrub their social media, clean that up and get that out of there. So, and then what to do going forward so that they don't put that out there, who to follow, get a good understanding of who's following them, because you can be associated with so many different either individuals or organizations, and you didn't even actually post anything yourself or comment on their posts.
Right.
So it's tricky. It's really hard.
And you might accidentally follow somebody you shouldn't.
Exactly.
Because they wrote something nice about you.
Yes.
And then not realizing that they're this terrible person who says these horrible things.
Yeah, all those other aspects of what they've been posting. Yes, exactly.
We're speaking with Karen Huey with Team Cura, helping high school athletes just outside of their on-field stuff. So beyond social media, what else are part of these online programs and these e-books? What are students able to learn through your group?
Yeah, we have a lot of, well, primarily the content is delivered to them in a video-based. Mm-hmm. So we combine video, ebooks, and some guides. And it's online so that they can access the learning modules anytime, anywhere, you know, on their mobile phones, on their laptops, tablets. And so another curricula that we have is around communication. So it's communicating with coaches, when and how to do that, communicating with teachers, tying it all together. We have another one. It's communication and it's around professional presence, making a great first and lasting impression.
Sure.
You know, how do you do that? How do you go about that? Professionalism, you know, being a leader. Mm-hmm. On the field, off the field. Because a lot of the off-the-field leadership that they can develop in the classroom or with volunteer activities that they have at a job. Some of them have part-time jobs. Mm-hmm. That all can translate to the field and really benefit them there. So we make the analogies and make those connections for them to help learn that.
So what's the website if high school students want to, or parents of high school students want to check out what you have? What's the website for Team Cura?
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. It's teamcura.com. Cura is C-U-R-A, okay. So it's T-E-A-M-C-U-R-A.com. And Cura is Latin for caring, and
there
we care about our high school athletes.
All right. My sophomore goes to Rockhurst, and there's a lot of Latin phrases on the school and on as part of the shield and all that.
Right.
So I figured it had a Latin tie, so good on the confirmation.
Yes.
So you have high school students you work with now, and you're looking for others to participate?
Yes, we've worked with dozens of high school athletes so far. We're really in launch mode, and so we've worked with these students, and we're just incorporating the ebook into the curricula package that parents or student-athletes can find out at our website through the membership. And we would love to have maybe a handful of additional high school sophomores or juniors or seniors who would be interested in working with us on that first ebook, because the ebook ties together all of the curricula, how it all rolls up and develops their personal brand and really helps them walk through that process. There'll be six videos that accompany it to help support that, and we would love to have those students volunteer to help us out to evaluate that first ebook.
Sure. And you said you had a background in HR, right?
I do. Yes.
So what was the motivation, the driving factor to do this? Did you see something with kids and think we could help with that? How did this kind of come to fruition?
Yeah, it's kind of a long story. I try to make it shorter.
Okay.
Yes, with my HR background, there's a number of different aspects of human resources, HR, that you can work in. But education and training has always been my passion. You know, after working for some very large Fortune 500 companies, running their training departments, concurrently I've been an adjunct college instructor teaching human relations and business communication. I've worked with a lot of high school students mentoring over in the Blue Valley CAPS program, CAPS, the Center for Advanced Professional Studies. And then I watched both of my children go through high school athletics, and then one went on to play college golf.
Wow.
And
that's the life. I tell you what, I hate to interrupt you, but
that's fine.
If you can go to college and play golf and get a scholarship, I know it's a job, I know you're competing. But, man, playing golf every day and getting paid in tuition to do it, that seems like a pretty good life to me.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know, because obviously you have to have daylight to get to the golf course. So a lot of the sports, they'll have, you know, 6 a.m. training. Well, they still would have to go to the weight room and so forth. But, it was a great experience.
<bad. laughs>
It really was. We were fortunate that he was able to do that. He got a lot out of it. And it was such an amazing experience that has life skills that's taken him on into his career.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That was part of your motivation.
That was part of my motivation. Yeah. I was seeing all this coming together. And as, you know, an HR advisor, you know, the companies that I work with that are recruiting students, they said, you know, we need to pull all this package together so they can communicate well, problem solve, have that professional presence, which is how we ended up with one of those categories. And so it's not just skills that's going to help that athlete get to the next level. We say it's skills they're going to use in their sport, school, and life.
Okay.
And we're excited about it.
Now, you said you lived in St. Louis. You're from St. Louis.
I lived there for a while when I was with Chrysler. They were moving us about every 15 to 19 months. So
okay.
I had a 20-month stint in St. Louis, and that's when I ran the first marathon.
So if you moved around from different places, do you have a favorite sports team?
Oh, it's hard to say. From Michigan, originally.
Okay.
So, you know, we're in the throes of football season, so we root for the Lions just because.
Finally,
they
maybe they got
so
a little.
Maybe.
Maybe.
But of course, how could we not embrace the Chiefs, you know,
yeah,
being
absolutely.
Here this season?
Well,
very
yeah,
exciting.
Patrick Mahomes makes it a little easy, doesn't
well,
it?
Well, yes, he does. Absolutely. Hopefully, he has a quick recovery and gets back out on the field.
You talk about a guy, you know, your team Cura, we're teaching life skills and personal skills. You talk about a guy who's. At least from in public, has a handle on just about everything. Patrick Mahomes, I mean, he knows how to handle a press conference. He knows how to sell products. I've never heard him say a bad thing. Maybe he does when the media is not around. But, man, just a well-rounded person. Man alive.
He is. He is so well-rounded and, you know, great representation of the Chiefs in Kansas
yeah.
City. And, you know, he's not that far into his career, which is really amazing,
right.
too, that he's been able to accomplish all this. And that's really, he emulates what we are striving to help our athletes get to, that well-rounded athlete to represents and has a good personal brand, represents their organization or their school team mm-hmm. really, really well.
All right. Before we let you go, let's have the website one more time.
Okay.
And again, parents, grandparents, high school students, if you're interested in this, the life skills part of this, check out the website.
Yeah, it's again at www.teamcura.com.
Okay, and it's C-U-R-A.
C-U-R-A.
Team Cura, C-U-R-A.
Yes.
.com. All right, fantastic stuff. And again, if you have a high school student who might want to participate with this program, check them out there as well. And we'll look forward to seeing where this program goes in the future. Karen,
great.
Thank you.
Brad, thanks for having me today. I appreciate it.
All right, Karen Huey from TeamCura.com. Quick timeout. Back with more Sports Sunday after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB. You can play Bon Jovi anytime you want, Joshua. Some people think it's cheese rock. Look, a lot of their music came out when I was in grade school and high school. I like it. I like it. Especially this song. I really like this song. If you don't like Bon Jovi, fine. I get it. Good for you. Yes, it's cheesy. Yes, it's commercial. I still like it. The early stuff, anyway.
My first concert ever.
Really? Which tour was it?
He came to the Sprint Center, and Chris Daughtry was opening for him.
Okay.
I went with my mom in about sixth grade. And if you remember Chris Daughtry
yeah.
from American Idol.
Yep.
We left before Bon Jovi even started. But
really?
Technically, Bon Jovi was the headliner of my first concert. So.
Why didn't you want to stay for Bon Jovi? Just not into it?
I mean, when you're at a concert with your mom, love my mom. But in sixth grade, you know, you're like Chris Daughtry, that was enough for me.
Okay. You'd had enough. That's all right. By the way, I just looked up on the screen, and Jalen Ramsey is doing an interview on ESPN's Countdown show, and I saw a preview clip earlier, and I guess he's airing all the behind-the-scenes dirty laundry of what went on at the Jaguars, why he wanted out. I didn't get to hear there was one final incident, which they didn't play in the clip, where he just called his agent. It was after a meeting or after he talked with somebody or after a game or something, and somebody said something, and he called his agent, and he said, get me out of here. What would you think of a teammate who not only wanted out? I get that. Some guys just don't fit. What would you think of a guy who wanted out and allegedly faked injuries so as not to play? What would you think of that guy? If you're a Jaguar now, and Jalen Ramsey was your teammate, what would you think about that?
I mean, I saw the Fournette tweet. And
what did he tweet? I missed it.
He said, ain't that some stuff, when he saw that Jalen Ramsey was on the practice field practicing for the Rams. Except he didn't say stuff. And so, you know, that's just, I mean, he's a gamer. I like his competitiveness.
Sure. But I would love to have Jalen Ramsey in the Chiefs uniform.
Maybe not the best teammate, you know?
Right.
So, I mean,
I'd be pissed off.
We'll see.
And Leonard Fournette doesn't need a reason to get pissed off. He wakes up pissed off. I mean, we've seen his antics with interacting with fans and stuff on the field. We've seen that. So it doesn't take a lot to piss off Leonard Fournette. But if I was one of those Jaguars teammates and he was faking injuries to get out, I get wanting out. Fine. You don't want to be there. It happens all the time. You don't hear about it all the time, but it happens all the time. But if you're faking injuries so you don't have to play with us, man, there'd be zero respect I'd have for that.
Well, he'll probably have to shadow Julio Jones today, so welcome to the Rams, Jalen Ramsey.
Welcome to the Rams, Jalen Ramsey. Maybe that's why he wanted to go to the Rams. Shadow Julio Jones. Boy, the Falcons just wasting like the best years of Julio Jones' career. Well, they're wasting the best years of a lot of guys on the team, the ones who have talent.
What is Bob Sutton's position there? He's the advisor to the defense.
He's the assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, I feel like they ask him after the game what he saw. He's like, look good.
Former Chiefs go down there. Scott Pioli, Bob Sutton. Who would have seen the Chiefs defense play the last 5 years and think, let's give that guy a call? Unless it's a handout, like it's a friend thing, like, come on down, I'll get you a six-figure check for a few weeks. Come on and help us with football. We'll call you a consultant. They'll have some title for it. These guys and their titles, whatever. The Falcons. Good luck. The Falcons did Hard Knocks a few years ago, didn't they? Maybe.
I don't think so.
There was some. They didn't do. I'd have to look at the history of Hard Knocks now. There was something behind the scenes. I thought it was the Falcons a few years ago. But Thomas Dimitroff, the GM, he comes off as kind of a clown. I'm here to have my cool haircut and my fancy glasses, and I'm not really very good at assembling football teams. Although, you know, they did go to the Super Bowl and blow a huge lead a few years ago, but still just not great. Someone's telling you to tell me something, aren't they, Joshua? Somebody called in to tell me something. It happens all the time. Somebody tell you to tell me something?
He asked if we had any NFL games on today, but no, we have the NASCAR race today.
NASCAR race. Oh, hang on. Let me check because ESPN Kansas City has games on today. There's two NFL games on ESPN Kansas City. Hang on 1 second. I'll get you the schedule for that caller. I shouldn't really be doing this on the air, but that's all right.
It is Houston and Indy.
Okay.
First, and then after that, it'll be the Saints and the Bears on ESPN 1510.
Okay. So ESPN 1510 or 94.5 FM. So two NFL games. Those games, if I'm out and about today, I'm dialing up ESPN Kansas City on the radio and listening to those games. So yes, NFL just not on 810 today, but we will have two games over on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. So there you go. And that was, I'm sorry, you said Colts and Texans? Definitely down for that, yes, 100%. And then the second game was, what was the second game?
Saints and the Bears.
Saints and Bears.
And then the Falcons were, I guess, on Hard Knocks in 14.
14, okay. Yeah, Thomas Dimitroff comes off as kind of a clown. He did in that show. Of course, Hard Knocks, sometimes they catch at your worst moments. I don't know, but he doesn't strike me as the brightest executive in the National Football League. Although their owner doesn't seem to like to put up with a lot of crap. He owns the soccer team, too, that won an MLS Cup, won a championship last year. By the way, you said you're a soccer fan, right, Joshua?
I like to think so, yeah.
Is it weird that the playoffs have started in Major League Soccer and Sporting Kansas City is not in it?
Yeah, it doesn't feel right that it's still going on with Sporting out of it.
I mean,
that was
8 straight years of the playoffs. So the last time Sporting missed the playoffs, you would have been probably in grade school, right? 8 years? So this is year 9 after 9 years removed from not making the playoffs.
15 years old.
So you were in high school. Wow. guess that shows my age. Yeah, it was weird. Nate Buchady was tweeting out a couple of observations about the games last night in particular. I think it was the Seattle game, Seattle-Portland game. And it kind of occurred to me, it just kind of struck me, oh, Sporting KC doesn't get a play this year. They got some stuff they got to do. So it's a weird Sunday without the Chiefs. So we got those games on ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. So I'll hit the, before we go to our next break, we've been on since 8 o'clock, and I realize not everybody was dialed in at 8 o'clock. Not everybody was up early on a Sunday. Not everybody's just pouring a cup of coffee and turning on 810 that early. People are sleeping in or getting ready to go to church or mass or services or whatever, or not doing that. I don't know. You're just relaxing on the back patio or the kitchen table. So I want to revisit the college games from yesterday. And I'll kind of go in the same order I did before. So kind of the results and what I think about those results. Kansas, if you say there's no such thing as moral victories, fine. I get that. They're not. I think this one was as close as it got. Leading Texas at Texas with 1 minute and 11 seconds left to go. And to get that lead, not only scoring the touchdown, but throwing for a two-point conversion because you wanted to win that game, totally down with that. Totally down with that. It's good stuff. So, took the lead with 1 minute and 11 seconds left to go in a game that was an absolute shootout, only to see Texas go down the field in that last minute and kick the game winner as time expired, Cameron Dicker, the kicker. I can imagine the things he's heard over the years. But I thought it was terrific. You had Les Miles made a change at offensive coordinator over the bye week. And to be fair to the offensive coordinator who was let go, he was put in a bad spot because Les Miles had already hired an offensive coordinator before the season started, and that coach left a week later to become the head coach at Troy. So you got to find somebody who's available, who's around. Promoted this guy, probably put in a tight spot, bad spot, wasn't working out. Les Miles liked his other assistant, thought he had a bright offensive mind. He'd had experience at lower levels before. Gave him a shot. And that was a hell of an offensive performance. That was a hell of a game. 50-48. 50-48. KU scored 48 points on the road against Texas with a tweaked offense that wanted to go more RPO. Carter Stanley, quarterback, pretty good. So for Kansas fans, I guess, if you don't want to call it a moral victory, then don't. I totally understand that. For me, one, pretty damn good show. Pretty entertaining show. I would be excited about what the Jayhawks may do the rest of the season. Not saying they're going to win three or four games. Just not. I'm saying you might see some different looking football over the second half of the season. You got Texas Tech coming in next week to KU. I guess not next week, this week, because today's Sunday. Coming in this week, got a 6 p.m. game. Got all kinds of time to go to Lawrence, or if you're in Lawrence, hang out, have dinner, tailgate, go to the game, and see if they can do it again. That's the thing. Can you do it again? Can Les Miles and his team get up and do it again? Repeat that performance. Throw up almost 600 yards of total offense. So good show. If I were a KU fan, I'd be very positive about what you're seeing right now and where Les Miles and his new offensive coordinator or promoted offensive coordinator and the things they can do with this team. So good stuff from Kansas. For K-State, man, that was a K-State game against TCU yesterday. That was hard-fought, knockdown, drag-out, power football with some good throws from Skylar Thompson, the Kansas City kid from Fort Osage High School in Independence. The drive at the end of the game, that was a K-State drive. 11 plays, 5 minutes and 18 seconds, just chunk, 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 all the way down the field, and then Skylar Thompson throwing the game winner to beat TCU. That was a kind of an old-style, well, it was kind of a mix. you had some old school Bill Snyder stuff, and you had the new school Matt Kleinman stuff. That's great. I love Skylar Thompson. That was fun to watch. And his quote after the game was absolutely fantastic. This from Skylar Thompson. Quote, "I live for those situations. I have my whole life. I love to be under the gun, under pressure, and in those situations. That's what I worked for my whole life, was to be in situations like that and deliver for my teammates." So good win for K-State. TCU was favored in that game in Manhattan. I get it. K-State did not score a ton of points. They're not going to be a high-scoring football team. That's just not going to happen. That's fine. If you don't score a lot of points, you're going to be in knockdown dragouts like this. So good stuff from K-State yesterday. Mizzou, on the other hand, holy smokes. I can just hear Mizzou fans right now. Even the fact that I bring up this game has to have you irritated, upset, mad, blood boiling, wanting me to move on to something else. Can't do it. Can't leave anybody out. Wouldn't be fair. Wouldn't be fair to Mizzou fans. That game, I was watching the two games yesterday because KU and Mizzou, K-State and Mizzou were on at the same time. They were overlapping a little bit. And so when I was watching both of them, we were having lunch at Charlie Hooper's. I would turn my head one way, watch K-State play, turn my head the other way, watch the Mizzou play. Every time I looked up, Mizzou was doing something either stupid or just getting killed. Kelly Bryant was not passing well. Kelly Bryant was running for his life. Every time I looked up, there was nothing good. Whenever I looked up and saw Mizzou, there was nothing good that I saw. That's just bad football. At this point in Barry Odom's tenure, things like that, games like that, cannot happen. Vanderbilt was 1-5 going into that game yesterday in Nashville. 1-5. They were 0-3 in the SEC. Vanderbilt, 0-3. Mizzou had won 5 straight games after that loss to Wyoming and was 2-0. In the SEC. It can't happen. I'm sorry. There's nothing good about this. Well, there's, you know, when you lose a game, you try to find something good. There's nothing good in this. There's nothing to take away from this. There were no positive signs in this. There's no indicators that this team is getting better. That was a monumental step back. To go to Vanderbilt, go down to Nashville and lose 21-14. That score may seem like it's close. Vanderbilt was the better team. That's just a flat-out truth. And that shouldn't be happening. They should not have been the better team. They were. Couldn't tackle at the end of the game to try to get the ball back. Couldn't stop the clock. By the way, the Vanderbilt kid was the backup quarterback, as a running back. At the end of the game, there was a Wildcat play. Vanderbilt was trying to run out the clock. Kid goes up for a sweep around the right side. He's getting close to the sidelines, and the kid goes into a slide to stay in bounds, forcing Mizzou to burn a timeout. I don't see enough kids do that. It's a really smart play. I see so many kids either fighting for the extra yard when they don't need it along the sidelines. I'm making a run to the sidelines. I can get a few extra yards. I can get a couple extra yards when you're trying to run out the clock, and then they get knocked out of bounds and stop the clock. That was a smart play. That's the good thing I saw in that game, the kid from Vanderbilt who slid to force Mizzou to use the timeout. As for what Mizzou did, awful. Just awful. Because you had potential things set up for you. If the NCAA decides to rescind these suspensions, because right now Mizzou can't play in the postseason, but there's a potential that they could rule here in the next couple of weeks in Mizzou's favor on the appeal. So Mizzou was set up going into the game against Vanderbilt to make a run at the SEC East. Now, would that have been a huge challenge, a huge hurdle? Yeah. But you want to be in that position. Mizzou was in that position. Missouri was in the position to make a run at the SEC East. And if things break your way with the NCAA, there's a chance to play in the NCAA championship game. Mizzou's done that a couple of times. They got their ass kicked when they did. But it was there. And a chance for a really good bowl game. Losing to Vanderbilt? If the NCAA decides to take away this suspension, bowl people are going to look at that game and think, geez, what, Mizzou coming here? Just bad. So just to kind of summarize, KU, good stuff, even though you lost. Lost on the last second kick. But good stuff in the game. Better stuff. Stuff to keep you positive. Stuff to kind of motivate you, maybe to go check out a game because they put on a good show. K-State, hard fought. Hard knuckle. That was a bare-knuckle brawl with TCU. And K-State came out on top. At home. A great performance by their quarterback, Skylar Thompson. Mizzou, what do you do now? I don't know. I don't know if they have an answer. You lose to Vanderbilt? No, you don't have the answers. You don't know what you're doing. This is how many years in the Barry Odoms era, and it just still having games like this. Can't do it. So I will be tuning in Monday morning at 6 a.m. to listen to Stephen St. John, Nate Bucchetti, and Jake Gutierrez give their thoughts. In particular, I want to hear what Stephen St. John has to say. I don't like to see Stephen angry. I like Stephen, but he's going to be pissed off, and he's going to have had 2 days to think about it. Almost 2 days. Day and a half to think about it. To let it sit. To let it marinate. To let it get under his skin. But I want to hear his thoughts because he's the most brutal. He's a Mizzou fan, but he's also brutally honest about the program and where they are. I was so excited last week, too, because I love listening to the Border Patrol. I get up at 5:36 in the morning, flip it on, take kids to school. We're listening to it on the way to school. And I love all the guys on the show who have the passion for their school. Nate for KU, Jake is a KU fan, even though he played soccer at Western Illinois. And Steven is a big Mizzou fan, even though he went to UMKC and Missouri Western State. I had reverse order, graduated from UMKC. He's so passionate about Mizzou. And I didn't go to Mizzou, but got a lot of friends who do. I like all of our local schools to do well, okay? So when Steven talks about Mizzou, I love the passion he has when he talks about it. And all last week, all he could talk about was, God, we could win the SEC East. It would be a pretty good hill to climb. They got a tough schedule coming up, but it was there. You got to be in the game. Even if you don't win at the end, and by winning, I'm talking about winning the SEC East. Even if you don't win it at the end, to be in position is big. It's important. It's something you have to do. It's something that helps you with recruiting. It's something that helps sell tickets. It's something that generates excitement. It generates donations. It generates other kinds of support. And Steven was so passionate about it last week. Just win the SEC East. Maybe the NCAA will take away the suspension. Maybe we'll go to the championship. Maybe we'll go to a great bowl game. It's out the window now, right? I mean, it's not, I guess technically it's not impossible. So many things would have to break your way now. And you lose to Vanderbilt. Good gravy. So I'll be listening to Steven tomorrow because I don't want to hear him be angry because I don't like seeing Steven angry, hearing angry Steven. But I want to hear his honest takeaway from that game. And he's going to give you the unvarnished truth. Just can't lose a game like that. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number three, and then we'll be out the door. Got NASCAR coverage most of the day today. The Hollywood Casino 400 out there. It'll be exciting. So we'll have coverage of that here on the radio all day long. And again, if you want to hear the National Football League, got two games for you over on our sister station, ESPN Kansas City, 94.5 FM and 1510 AM. Quick timeout. My name is Brad Porter. Joshua Byers is running the show. And you're on Sports Radio 810 WHB. All aboard!
I
That must mean there's a football team getting ready to kick off somewhere. By the way, is this the most overplayed stadium anthem song of all time? And they put out, what were those CDs they used to put out? Was it Stadium Rock? Arena Rock, something like that. This might be the most overplayed stadium song of all time. And actually, you know, it has a really great start to it. The rest of it's kind of... I like some Ozzy Osbourne. Not a ton of it. Never went to his shows when I was younger, but I'd heard stories about him. We've all seen the pictures. The dude's not doing well, man. Poison your body like that for decades. Man. Sharon's going to spend all his money. She's actually not. I've seen her on TV several times. She's actually seems like a relatively charming personality. I don't know what she was like when she was younger, but okay. I wasn't planning on going down the Ozzy Osbourne route today. I was trying to think of other overplayed songs. Well, I'm partial to Start Me Up because that's been the Chiefs kickoff song forever. And when Scott Pioli came in, he tried to change it. They used Black Betty for a while. They've used a couple of different things, and then now they've gone back to Start Me Up. Boy, Scott Pioli, that just... I brought up his name earlier. That was just a terrible time to be around the Chiefs. I'm not just talking about fans. I'm talking about media. I'm talking about employees of the Chiefs. What a horrific time to be around the organization. Just dysfunctional. And I'm not saying anything about the Chiefs employees. I love the people I have contact with the Chiefs. The security guy at the front desk, the lady at the front desk who lets people in or answers the phones, the PR staff. I like everybody. I like to think I get along with everybody. But I could see how miserable people were just being around the Chiefs. Scott Pioli just poisoned the whole place. I need to end on something positive because that's just... God, it was irritating. Such a jerk. And not very good at his job. And a toxic mix with Todd Haley. I actually didn't mind Todd Haley. Got along with him pretty well. He just wasn't good at his job, like Scott Pioli. When you have your GM and your head coach, and neither one of them are very good at their job, that doesn't create a lot of motivation. And then all the behind the stuff things you've heard about Scott Pioli. When Kemp Babb was at the Kansas City Star, he wrote a big piece about things that were going on behind the scenes, and it confirmed everything I thought about Scott Pioli. If you were friends with him when he was here, fine, I get it. I've heard people say, well, he was so good with charity and philanthropy and that side of the kind of thing. That doesn't mean you're not a jerk. I was just checking out the latest headlines. Jalen Ramsey says that he has promised the Rams. Let's see. Promised the Rams that he would be comfortable with the deal with them. Even if they don't sign a long-term contract this offseason, he will not hold out. Take Jalen Ramsey's word for it that he's not going to hold out next year if he doesn't get a contract extension. How'd that work out for the Jaguars? He wasn't holding out, but he faked an injury so he didn't have to play. Yeah, I said it, allegedly. Allegedly faked an injury. There, I got to cover myself. He allegedly faked an injury so as not to play. I believe he was. I just find that funny. He gave the Rams, his word he wouldn't hold out. Okay. What if the Rams go 6-10 this year and don't make the playoffs? That could happen. let's see. One more thing. I was checking out the World Series. I'm really looking forward to Astros Nationals. I don't know about you. The Houston Astros have been installed as the favorites over the Nationals. I kind of thought that. They are the biggest favorites since 2007. Right now, the Astros, and I don't know a lot about gambling on baseball. You can ask Seren Petro about it during the week. He knows how that world works much better than I do. He actually worked in Vegas. Astros, -235. Nationals, +195. That's big. That's the biggest since 2007 when the Red Sox were -240 to beat the Rockies. Wow. I'm looking forward to it. Tuesday night, Max Scherzer and Garrett Cole. That's as big as it gets. That's as strong as it gets. I want to thank all of our guests from today. David Leske from Baseball Perspective. Oh, excuse me. I was reading off my guest list from yesterday. Turn the page. David did a great job on Saturday, David, so if you're listening. Today's guest, Clint Scholes from RoyalsAcademy.com. Great job talking Royals baseball and prospects and who the next manager should be. Matt Derrick, thank you, from ChiefsDigest.com and 810WHB.com, talking Chiefs and what the next few weeks may look like without Patrick Mahomes and what you would need to see over the next 3 to 5 weeks to know the Chiefs are going to be okay. And also thanks to Karen Huey from Team Cura, C-U-R-A. Go to TeamCura.com if you've got high school student-athletes and want some interpersonal skills, help with how to handle social media, that kind of thing. Also, they do photography. If you've got a student photographer, they got a program for that. So TeamCura.com. Thank you to Joshua Byers one more time for putting all the shows together this weekend and making it happen. Enjoy your Sunday. My name is Brad Porter. You're listening to Sports Radio 810 WHB.